Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you had a silent night last night. My night wasn't so silent. I was up till 2:20 in the morning with this cold, and I tell you, man, it was a lot of fun. But I am glad to see you here this morning. How many are enjoying the Christmas season? I love the Christmas season. I love everything about it. I love the food. I love the time with family. I love the lights. I love the food. I love the gifts. You know, I love the decorations and the trees. I love the food. I just love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas except the snow shoveling. I mean, yeah, I can do without that, but, I love the music. How many of you like the music of Christmas? It's been great. You know, there's been some specials on television, and about a week ago, there was a special on Rebecca and I. We turned it on, and it happened to be there, and just watched some really great Christmas music, and, my wife, I like Christmas music. She loves Christmas music. It's playing in our house by Thanksgiving at least, if not a week or two beforehand. And, we just love the music of Christmas. And for the month of December, we're going to focus on Christmas classics, some classic songs of Christmas, and then just kind of talk about them and apply a spiritual principle and application to our lives. And this series is based on a series of messages by Pastor Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'd like you to open your Bible this morning to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. And this is the first Christmas song that we're going to look at. And it is Silent Night. Silent Night. I want you to think about those words of the song. It's Silent Night. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And then it ends with sleep in heavenly peace. And I want you to think about that, the words of those songs, and that song, and realize that that song really isn't quite accurate to describe the nativity scene. Because, and a lot of times we see, what do we see here? We see Mary going, oh, and Joseph going, oh, and the baby Jesus looking up. But friends, a silent night is not what it was. I mean, it first starts off before they even get to Bethlehem. It starts off that they have to pay taxes. Now, how many of you know that that's not a very peaceful thing, huh? I mean, that is stressful right there. Then they have to move, all right? Moving is a stressful thing. And it's not only moving, but then they have to travel a long ways, and they have to travel by donkey. How many of you can imagine moving by donkey? Now, think about this. Moving by donkey when you're pregnant. Is that a very peaceful thing? No. And then when they finally get to town, it's not just that, but they have to deal with the stigma of, you're that couple. That couple that had the child out of wedlock. And, you say, God made you pregnant? Yeah, come on. I mean, and so they're dealing with that. They get to Bethlehem. There's no hotels. There's no place to stay. And so then they have to go to a barn. And you just think, the horses are neighing. The cows are mooing. You know, 8 maids are milking. 6 geese are laying. You know, there's 4 calling birds, 3 Israeli hens, and 2 turtle doves. You've got the commotion of the 12 days of Christmas. A barn is not quiet. It's not peaceful. And you think about it, then it comes time when the baby is born. And he's born into a barn. Friends, we've had 4 kids, 3 of them through natural childbirth. I took classes so we could go through this. I should say my wife and I did. And I was there. Friends, I've been in the birthing room. It is not a silent night. Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, and my wife, she's one of the sweetest, most kindest people I know. She's just a gem. I mean, if you don't like Rebecca, you might be the Antichrist, okay? But just let me tell you something. When she's in labor, her personality changes a little bit, okay? I had fingernail marks on my arms for about a week after one of our kids was born. I mean, there was nothing silent and quiet and peaceful about that night. And yet, here's the question. Why did God have his son be born into a dirty, smelly stable in the midst of this chaotic time, this mess that was going on? I mean, to me, this is God's son. This is the man. This is the one who's going to make a difference and change it all. I would have thought that, you know, you would have sent out golden embossed invitations, that you would have put it on the Jumbotron in Times Square, but no, there's none of the pomp, none of the circumstance, none of the majesty. He's in an obscure little village out in the country in a dirty, smelly stable. Why did God have his son come into those conditions? And maybe, just maybe, here's the reason. Because God wanted us to know that the reason I came was to come into your chaotic mess. That's the reason I came. I didn't come to make the world perfect and for everything to be right and everything. I came to take care of life because life is messy, life is chaotic, and Jesus came to give us a silent night. I want you to take a look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Friends, I want you to notice this list here. Hundreds of years before Christ came, God said, I'm telling you the very reason that Jesus is coming. First of all, he's a counselor. When's the last time you needed a counselor? When something inside was really messed up and you were struggling. You know, God says he is a mighty God. When's the last time you've needed a mighty God? When you were desperate and everything was falling apart, you need a mighty God in your life. He is our everlasting Father. When's the last time you needed that? When you've needed someone to transcend everything that happened yesterday to be here with you today and who's going to take care of tomorrow, you needed that everlasting Father. When did you need a Prince of Peace? When your life was chaotic. Take a look at your notes this morning. There are three times, I think you can summarize why we have worry and chaos and all that stuff. There's three categories that you can kind of lump everything into. And we lose peace of mind, first of all, look at this, when circumstances are uncontrollable. When you have no control over your circumstances, that's when you begin to have stress and worry and you lose your peace of mind. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, we were in Denver. I hate driving in Denver traffic. I love Casper traffic. I mean, I don't think we know what the name of a traffic jam is unless, you know, there was a jelly truck that crashed and spilt jam all over the highway. Then we might have a traffic jam, but we don't have that. But in Denver, I mean, you are not in control. You're at the mercy of everyone else. And I don't know about you, but you just stop and go, and you really don't control how fast you're going to get where you want. For me, it's stressful. It's anxiety, but it's not just traffic. What about if you lose your job? What if you're going through financial difficulty? You know, you can make phone calls, you can do interviews, you can send out resumes, but you really have no control if that person is going to hire you or not. And whenever we don't have control of our life and what's going on, we lose our peace of mind. How many have been there? Yeah, many of you have. Another time in your notes, if you're taking notes this morning, a second time we lose peace of mind is when people are unbearable. When people are unbearable. I mean, I don't know about you, but has there ever been a time when you've said life would just be a lot more enjoyable if it weren't for the people? I mean, think about Christmas shopping. I mean, I heard on Black Friday, two ladies got into a stun gun fight in a mall. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, and I know, sometimes I wish I was Moses during the Christmas time. I could just say to the people, you know, raise my staff and the people would part and I could walk right up to the checker and check out and be on my way. I mean, that would be great. But sometimes the people you're dealing with, it's a lot more serious. Some of you are students here, and every day you go to school, there are kids that make your life a living hell. And you're bullied. And you hate going to school, and you don't tell anyone about it, but it's unbearable. There's some of you here at work, you work with people that are so antagonistic to you, they hate you. They maybe lie about you, they talk about you behind your back. Maybe they even tried to sabotage your work to make you look bad. When we have unbearable people in our lives, it causes us to lose peace of mind when we're dealing with difficult people. And then the third category that causes us to lose peace of mind is when problems are unexplainable. When something is taking place in life and you're saying, God, I need some answers, I need some help, but there are none. And in place of the answers, all you're coming up with is why. Why did this person get sick? Why did this person die? Why did this happen to me? Why can't I get this part of my life figured out? Why? And you get that sense that you've lost something because there's a part of your life you just can't explain. Friends, Jesus came into the world to give us peace when life is unexplainable, when people are unbearable, and when our circumstances are uncontrollable. He came to give us peace. In John 14:27 in the Living Bible, he says, I'm leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace that the world gives. So don't be afraid and troubled. Do you see what he said there? I'm leaving you a gift. What if on Christmas morning, everyone unwrapped all of the presents, and yet there was still one left under the tree, and he said, hey, wait a second, we have one more gift, and everybody says, you know what, we're good enough, we're happy, and you just walk out and you leave that gift there. How would you feel? If you've got this gift you wanted to give, and no one wanted to open it. And Jesus says, I have a gift I want to give you. Peace of mind, peace of heart. And friends, there are many of us that just have not opened that gift that Jesus is offering to us. And it's not just during Christmas, but it's for 365 days a year. Jesus wants to give us peace. Jesus came to give us a silent night. If you're taking notes this morning, we're going to look at five things that you and I need to do to have God's peace in our life, okay? All right, let's take a look at the first one. Number one, if you want peace of mind and heart, then we need to accept God's pardon and leadership. Accept God's pardon and leadership. God wants to wipe our slate clean. I don't know if you realize that, but he wants to forgive us of all of our sin, of everything that we've done wrong. And if you're weighed down with guilt and with shame, that's the reason Jesus came, is to take away your sin. I heard a story about a man who committed a murder 30 years before. And finally, one day, he just couldn't take the guilt anymore. He walked into a police station. He says, I murdered so-and-so. He gave him the details. And he says, I'm the one. Lock me up. Kill me. Do whatever you want to do with me. He was looking for a way to get rid of his guilt and his shame and all of the junk that was in his life. And friends, that's why Jesus came. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word justified, think of it as it means just as if I'd never sinned. When God justifies us, he erases our sin and he declares us as righteous. So that when he looks at us, it's just as if we've never sinned. Jesus took all of our sin upon him. He took our penalty because he wants to just wipe our slate clean. And there's many people that come from a church background, but they are trying to clean their slate by what they do. They think if I do more, pray more, give more, do the right things, I'll be taken care of. I grew up in a church, and that's what I believe. That's what I was taught, that if I just do all these things that the church tells me to do, then I'm forgiven. And yet, the whole time, God seemed far away. And I was depending upon my good works, upon my deeds, instead of what Jesus Christ had already done for me on the cross. The Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his mercy he saved us. It says, you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And there are some of us here today, maybe you've been a very religious person. You've went to church your whole life, and you've been trying to get rid of your sin in the sense of wrong by doing a bunch of good stuff, but you just don't feel it's working, and that's because it doesn't work. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. If you clean a window with a filthy rag, you just smear it and make it a bigger mess. Jesus gave his life on the cross. And what we need to do is we need to realize that we are sinners, that we have to confess our sin to God, and we have to have Jesus come and take control of our lives. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, let's look at that on the screen again. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our, what's the next word? Lord Jesus Christ. That word Lord is a Bible term for boss, for master. You see, being a Christian doesn't mean, oh, I just have a friendship with God, but I do whatever I want. It means I've made Jesus my Lord, my leader, my boss, my master. That he calls the shots, and I surrender my life into his control. And for me to have peace, I first need to have the one who is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And to have Jesus, I need to confess my sin and confess him as the leader of my life. I need to accept God's pardon and God's leadership in my life. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18, in the NIV, it says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Do you realize that God delights to show mercy? In other words, he says, it is fun when I get to erase your sin. When you say, God, I've sinned, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He says, that's one of the best parts of my day. I delight in it. I rejoice in it. It's great. It's awesome. Some of us think, man, I'm such a horrible person. God could never love me. That's not the case. Friends, Jesus delights when he has the chance to forgive us. If you have sinned in your life, if you're not right with God, you can make God happy by saying, God, forgive me. I have sinned. I need your help. I need you to be in charge of my life. I need you to be my leader. Friends, that's what he's looking for. When we accept God's pardon and God's leadership in our life, that is the first step to having peace. If you haven't done that today, I encourage you to do so. In fact, a few moments from now, as we close the service, we're going to give you that opportunity because, friends, that is the main thing in life. Jesus came to save us from a sin. It says, one of the things that I believe was said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The word Jesus means to save. And so God wants to save us from our sins. Accept his pardon and his leadership. Now, the second key to having peace in our life, I can tell you about it, but really it's something you need to experience it for yourselves. And it is number two, recognize God's presence. Recognize God's presence. My goal in our Sunday service, when we come to church on Sunday morning and we celebrate God, my goal is not for you to fall in love with Casper Faith. Okay? That's not my goal. My goal is not, now, let me say this. I do want you to like our church. I want you to like our ministries, our nursery, our kids' church. Didn't they do a great job today in the bell choir? Yeah, beautiful. And I want you to like the ministries we have, our groups we have. I want you to like our worship, like my preaching. But here's the thing. My goal, number one, is that you experience God's presence here in church. Because, friends, a second in God's presence beats my preaching on my best day. Here's the thing. You normally don't experience God's presence when I'm talking. you normally experience it when we're worshiping together. There's a time when all of a sudden there's something different, and all of a sudden God comes near. And I want each and every person to experience the presence of God in their lives when they come to church. That's our goal here. That's our goal. And there's something when we worship God, when we experience His presence, it's like the world flips-flops. Because before that, when we have problems, we're focused on our problems. But when we worship God, our eyes go off of our problem, and we're now looking at God. We're focusing on God. The thing that we don't realize is that He is Emmanuel. He is with us all the time. It's just that we don't recognize His presence in our lives. And if we can come to the place where we are recognizing that God's presence is always with me, then I can have continual peace. I found in my own life when I'm not really conscious that God is there and here for me, that's when I have worry and anxiety and stress in my life. But when I realize God's here, He's in control, He's with me, I'm not alone, that gives me peace. We're told in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And friends, peace of mind is not something we get from a mental exercise or from our mind power. It comes from our perspective, what we're thinking about. And do you realize that God's presence is with you all the time, and His presence is loving and caring and wonderful and holy? Romans 8, 6 says that the mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. When I am walking in the Spirit and I realize that God's presence and Spirit is with me, I have peace in my life. If you feel your life is out of control, find a worship tape or a worship CD and just pop it in and get somewhere and worship alone with God for 5-10 minutes. Or if you, how many have a smartphone or a tablet? You can go on to YouTube, plug into a worship song like "How Great Is Our God," or "Shout to the Lord," or something like that. Or you type up whatever your favorite hymn is, your favorite song. Begin to just praise and worship God on your tablet or your smartphone, and just let God's presence, because when I begin to worship, it takes this problem of mine that seems really big, and it makes it small, and it makes God, who was small in my sight, and it makes Him big. And that's what worship does. It makes the small big and the big small. It puts God in the right perspective. And we see that He is always here and He cares for us. And He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. I thought it was neat this morning as the kids shared their Adventure Kids theme verse. Did you hear the last line that they said? "God is always with you." And that's exactly what the word was given. We talked about how God, He's always here. He's never left you. Friends, God has that word. He says, "I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I am Emmanuel. I am with you." Recognize God's presence as a second key to having peace in our lives. All right. So first of all, we need to accept what? Pardon and leadership. Secondly, we need to recognize His presence in our lives. The third key to having peace is to obey God's principles. Obey God's principles. A lot of us are experiencing pressure and anxiety because we have ignored what God has told us to do. And He has been very gentle in convicting us about different things, but we just kind of ignore it and we push it off. And if we are ignoring what God is telling us, we're not going to have peace in our lives. We're going to have chaos. We're going to have anxiety. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Friends, if you're here today and you've been ignoring God or just trying to fudge on what He's been trying to tell you, you will not have peace in your life. Peace comes through obedience. So I just want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to think, is there something in your life that God is saying to you right now, "I want you to obey me in this"? Just take 15 seconds, wait on Him. If God has brought something to your mind, an area that you are not obeying him in, then today is the day to make that right, whatever it is. For some of you, it might be a phone call. For some of you, it might be having to give back something. I don't know what it might be, but I want you to write it down. You can cover up so no one sees. This is between you and God. But if God spoke something to you about something that you have not been obeying him on, or something you need to start obeying him on, go ahead and do that, because that is a key to having peace in our lives, is when I'm walking in obedience to his principles in my life. Okay, let's look at number four. The fourth thing that we need to do if we're going to have peace is we need to trust God's plan. I need to trust God's plan. And let me tell you the problem with this one. God is not going to tell us the plan, okay? Because if God told us the plan and we knew about it, we could follow it. It would be easy, because we could understand why he's allowing these things to happen, or why he seems to be doing nothing in our life. But when he doesn't tell us the plan, that's when it's tough to trust him. And he doesn't tell us the plan because I think sometimes if he told us the plan, we would either rush ahead and try to make it happen, and we'd mess it all up, or we'd make it about ourselves and say, oh man, look what I did. And God doesn't tell us the plan, but he is sovereign, he is in control, and you and I can trust him. You know, when my kids were little, they just came to the table and they would eat the food, and they have no worries in the world about what's you know, about how they're going to be provided for in their life. But as my kids have become older and they've taken responsibility for money in their life, now it becomes a little more stressful. They don't have the peace anymore. Well, how am I going to pay for this? And how am I going to pay for that? Now, first of all, parents, that's a good thing, you know, right? You want your kids to learn that. But here's the thing. Jesus wants us to come to him as a little child, so that even as an adult, when we have these financial problems, we realize we're like that little child that just comes to the table. Man, I don't know where it comes from. I don't care. I don't even think about it. It's just here. I just enjoy life. And that's how God wants you and I to have peace. He wants us just to trust him in everything. He's our provider. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with 50% of your heart. Oh, excuse me here. I think I need new glasses. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Are there some situations in your life that you're not trusting him in? You're trusting him in some, but not all of the situations. He says, trust me in everything. Let me be in control of everything. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, don't try to figure it out. In all your ways, acknowledge him, know him, and he will direct your paths. Your life might seem uncontrollable, unbearable, or unexplainable. Don't lean on your own understanding and try to figure it out. Do trust in God. Receive his pardon, receive his leadership, and say, God, I'm going to recognize your presence all the time in my life, and I am going to obey you and what you've told me, and the things I don't understand, I'm just going to simply trust you. I'm going to walk in that trust. And when we do that, we find peace in our life. And then here's the last key. If you're taking notes this morning, the final key to having peace in our lives is to ask for God's provision. Ask for it. Peace comes by asking for it. And I think so many times when something happens in our life, when there's a situation or a problem, we think about it in our own minds, but we don't talk to God about it. You know what you call it when you think about a problem over and over in your mind? You know what that's called? Worry. That's what worry is. When you keep thinking, what if? Or how am I going to do this? How do we figure this out? And when you keep talking to yourself about it, God says, you know what? I want you to shut up. Don't talk to yourself about it. Talk to me about it. Have you taken everything to him? There's an old hymn. It says, all our griefs to bearers, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Philippians 4, chapter 6, or 4, verse 6 and 7 in the Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will, not might, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Have you asked for his peace in your situation, or have you just been worrying about it, keeping it all balled up inside? Tell him about it. Express it to him. I want to wrap this message up this morning with a story about a gentleman who was a very wealthy man, and a long time ago, he wanted a painting that depicted perfect peace. And he searched all around, and he couldn't find one. So finally, he decided to have a contest. And he says, I am commissioning, I'm going to give a prize to the person that paints a perfect picture of peace. So people from all around the world painted these pictures and brought it to him. He's a very wealthy man. And they had this contest, and there were several beautiful pictures, but not one really seemed to be right. And it kind of came down to the two finalists, and the judges pulled back the veil on the one, and it was a picture of this mirror smooth lake, and in the reflection was these soft lacy birches, and there's just some wispy clouds and a beautiful just blue velvet sky. It was so serene, so quiet, so peaceful. Everyone thought for sure this was the winner. But then the wealthy man unveiled the last picture, and the people gasped because it was almost a complete opposite. It was a picture of a tumultuous waterfall that was cascading down rocky cliffs, rocky edges. And you could almost feel that cold, penetrating spray. And there was lightning in the sky, and it was dark and gloomy. There was a storm that was just raging in this picture. And about halfway down, there was a spindly tree just kind of on a small, rocky ledge. And it had a branch that was sticking out over the waterfall. And in the elbow of the crook of the branch, there was a nest. And there was a little bird sitting on her eggs, and her eyes were closed, but she was just ready like to spread her wings over her little ones to keep them warm as soon as they were born. And the wealthy man says, this one right here is the winner. And the people were going, what do you mean it's the winner? This other one is beautiful, it's perfect. And he says, peace is not peace when everything's perfect in life. He said, peace is when everything around you is tumultuous and falling apart and stressful, and yet you are completely at rest. Friends, that's the peace Jesus came to give us. I came to give you a gift, peace of mind, peace of heart. I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us CasperFaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.